In the late summer of 1462, 9 years after the conquest of Constantinople in 1453, the 32-year-old Sultan Mehmed visited the ruins of what he and others believed to be Troy. He praised the heroes of antiquity for having found the poet Homer as their panegyrist, evidently imitating Alexander the Great, who had visited the tombs of Achilles and exclaimed, "O Achilles, as a great man, you have found a great hero in Homer." But then, as you can see on the screen, the Sultan's speech changed to politics and turned out to be a statement on his ideology and his own role in history. This statement is interesting in many respects and raises a variety of questions. Let us have a look at some of them, which are related to the topic of my paper. First, why can the conquest of Byzantium, and especially of Constantinople, be interpreted as a punishment? The answer is that, similarly to other religions, Jews, Christians, and Muslims believe that misfortunes of all kinds had to be interpreted as a divine punishment for sins. The interpretation of the Ottoman triumph over Byzantium in 1453 as punishment that was sent from God was a general opinion of Byzantines and other contemporaries. Second, from where did Mehmed take the idea to justify or explain his deeds in the stories of a mythical past? We know that the Sultan was interested in history. Critopoulos tells us a trustworthy account, you see it on the screen, of Mehmed's visit to Athens in 1458. Mehmed's strong interest in history is confirmed by other contemporaries, but also uncovered as not at all merely a theorist's or classicist's passion. Contemporary sources make it clear that one should have no illusions about the political intentions behind Mehmed's cultural interests. Humanist ideas had no great priority for him. And to return to the initial question, where are the roots of the construction of a historical and ideological justification within the category punishment or revenge? The earliest classical answer comes, as we heard often in the last 2 days, from Herodotus. His history is built upon the archaic basic conflict between Greeks and barbarians. From the very beginning, Herodotus declares the Trojan War a crucial historic event with long-lasting consequences. Here I refer to Richard Hunter's beginning with the Iliad and with Herodotus, and to Alan Shapiro, who suggests an even earlier formation of the concept of Greek identity in visual representations before Herodotus. On the other hand, Walter Pohl stresses in his paper the importance of different modes of identification, ethnic, religious, regional, and political, which were formed in the early Middle Ages to understand the problems of religious and national identities in the modern age. Perhaps, in the case of Ellinesche Barbari, this archaic dualistic model of identity never ceased to be effective, so there would not be a very beginning in the early Middle Ages. An important point of motivation for the rivalry between Asians and Greeks was for Mehmed the history of Aeneas, who arrived after his flight from Troy at Latium and became progenitor of the Romans, a story that was definitely converted into the foundation myth of the Roman Empire by Virgil. Mehmed's ideological construct was supported by the Byzantine identification of the Ottoman Turks with Tefkri, Toykroi, the inhabitants of Homeric Troy and ancestors of Priam and Aeneas. Another provoking incentive for Mehmed's political formation in history was the superiority that ancient Greek and later ideologists claimed for the Hellenes over the barbarians of any sort. Most of these barbarians, the Persians in antiquity and the Turkish tribes in the Middle Ages, had their roots outside the Roman Ecumeni in Asia, in Greater Asia. The medieval Byzantines modified or extended the meaning of barbary according to the respective current political circumstances. They had no problem with accumulating or combining their various identities, with being by faith Christians, in politics Romae, and by culture Hellenes. Accordingly, we also observe a flexibility in the usage of the term barbary, barbaroi. Any political enemy, not only a pagan but also a Christian, could turn out to be barbaros, a single person as well as an entire tribe or nation. The political ideology of Rome fascinated the other. The fact that the first Turkish state in Asia Minor was called Sultanate of Rum is not a mere coincidence. It was one step towards the fulfillment of the totalitarian claim of Islam to rule over the Hellenized and Christian Roman Empire and its symbolic and real center, the New Rome. Mehmed, believed to be mightier than Caesar, Alexander the Great, or any other ruler who ever strived for the world domination, he believed that he, the second Muhammad, should extend God's law, going far beyond the idea of an Asiatic revenge against the Greeks. It was the entire Christian ecumeny which the Sultan wanted to overcome and to replace with his Islamic ecumeny. Therefore, Mehmed followed up the idea to conquer not only the second Rome, as prophesied by the Prophet Muhammad, but also her mother, the first Rome. What he strived for after himself was to conquer all lands adjacent to the Mediterranean, including Europe, and to dominate the ancient Ecumeni. He said that only one world domination, one faith, one monarchy should exist, and between 1453 and his death in 1481, many Europeans believed that he would succeed. Mehmed planned to continue the new Rome, Constantinople, into an ecumenic Muslim metropolis. There's no doubt about his intense efforts to repopulate the imperial city and to redevelop it into his magnificent ecumenic capital. For this purpose, he probably aimed to raise the quality of life in the sense of Walter Scheidel's comments on the Byzantine Empire, at least in view of nutrition, income, education, and even human rights, if we have in mind the partial autonomy which Mehmed had granted to the non-Muslim communities. We could also imagine that he planned his capital in the tradition of a model similar to polytevmata, citizenships, as Claudia Rapp will describe it. To return to the beginning, Mehmed the Conqueror was a gifted politician with a well-developed sense for propaganda. Therefore, he himself, but also his advisors, worked continuously on his myth-making. Thanks to his erudition, he understood the importance of the historical dimension for actual politics. History was, for him, an applied science. Logically, he avoided, or at least neglected, in official statements, about the future plans for his imaginary worldwide empire, as far as possible, to mention the immediately preceding Byzantine Christian Empire, which he, from his contemporary experience, understood as a symbol of decline or decay, not a model for himself. On the contrary, he connected his fate with two other dimensions of history. First, the Muslim and Turkish history. His name, Mehmet, was for him obligation and challenge. Although not personally religious, he nevertheless acted consciously as a religious leader for the Muslims. He understood this position as a useful tool for the historic mission to conquer, as a new Muhammad, Constantine's city, Al-Qustantinia, and to strive after the final victory of the true faith for the Ecumeni. Second, history of the ancient pre-Christian, pre-Byzantine world. The overlapping antagonisms, Hellenes Barbari and Evropi Asia, which formed an important part of historiography since Herodotus, inspired Mehmet to present himself as the most important successor of the heroes of ancient history, above all this world conqueror, Alexander the Great. And here I'm quoting Richard Buxton. According to Plutarch, Alexander possessed, even as a child, strength, indomitable spirit, and political nous. And for the far-reaching effects of Alexander's campaign to the east, I refer to Mrs. Ray's paper. Both these aspects may have fascinated Mehmet. Young Alexander was in his 22nd year when he invaded Persian-ruled Asia Minor. Young Mehmet wanted to surpass him. He was in his 22nd year when he conquered Constantinople, and he did not die at the age of 33, but at the age of 53, probably with the support of his doctor, and he was then still fighting for his dream. Thank you.